Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Bob, and I'm here with...
I spy she a baddie, she knows she a 10.
Oompity-doo.
And with our special guest, we have...
Yes, he's here on the Halloween episode. We got a special guest, the man, the myth, the legend.
Introduce yourself, sir.
Dr. Hennessy Montgomery Alabama Jones, or you could just call me Montgomery Jones.
Montgomery Jones in the building.
Shout out Montgomery, bro.
It's an honor. You inspired so many people, and it's just
and so is your chair
and the hat. I forgot the junior.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
The junior.
Respect to your dad. Sorry.
Yeah. Respect.
Montgomery Senior, we love you. We miss you.
Yeah.
We miss you. That dreadful accident that happened to you when you actually...
It was the plane. The plane crash.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Wow, I did not know it was a plane. That's actually kind of crazy. I thought it was just a...
He was fighting Germans.
You know? Oh, okay.
I'm really sorry for your loss. Yeah, I did not know that.
I didn't know
that.
It's all
good. I
thought it was like a heart attack, and then it... He went peaceful.
It was a heart attack while he was flying.
While the plane was right. A big part of it. Okay.
Right. While he was flying, and then the plane crashed.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah,
rest in peace.
I was there, too.
Rest in peace.
I made it out.
You were a baby?
No, I was an adult.
Oh.
This happened last year.
Okay. That makes sense.
Jeez.
Well, I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Shout
rest
out you.
Rest in peace to your dad.
I'm good.
Rest in power, Montgomery Senior.
Montgomery Senior.
I mean that. I really mean that.
I didn't know you cared about people, Oompa.
I'm just a caring person at the factory where I work. We got to care about people. We got to make sure people do it okay. Can't have people falling in the chocolate river. We can't have people licking up on the freaking wallpaper. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my job every day. Caring about people.
Do you guys unionize or what?
I wish, but Willie, he gets really mad when we talk about getting paid in unions.
You could say Willie gets wooey mad.
We do say that. Actually, you could be our union leader because we're getting screwed.
Fight the power.
We work 18-hour days.
Oh, wow.
No pay.
No pay?
No pay.
Do you guys get like a lunch break?
What? No lunch break. He gives us chocolates. He throws chocolates and says... Eat that while you're working.
You know what's funny is I was wondering why there were so many Oompas, because my dad works at a doctor's office, that have come in and been diagnosed with diabetes, but that makes sense.
Actually, it's really bad. And I was just telling him over here, I'm like, when people are coming in to visit us, we're singing our Oompa Loompa spirituals because of the slavery that we're being oppressed in. And everyone's like, oh, those are good. But we're like, no, we need help.
Right, right.
Oompa Loompa doopity do. This man is a tyrannical mess and he's coming for you. And they don't listen to us. They don't believe us.
Oompa Loompa
doopity do. This man is a tyrannical mess and he's coming for
you.
I don't think I've ever heard that part of the lyrics.
Yeah, they cut it out.
The last part is like
the so called movie.
Right.
It's a documentary.
It wasn't a documentary because a lot of stuff was cut out. It was a lot of us screaming and like, help us. The cameramen were always like going away from. We were like, help.
They would just like cut the moment. You're like,
it was made by Willy Wonka, right?
It was made by him, so of course he cut all that stuff out.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because like the last half of the verse is like, oompa loompa doofity dee, if you were wise, you would let us free.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us free. And they
they just did it.
I can't believe it's legal what he's doing.
You know, corporations.
Chocolate. In the chocolate children.
No way you just did that.
Free the Oompa Loompas, man.
Free, the Oompa. Free us. Please. Please free us. Wait, in the chocolate is crazy.
It's crazy.
I'm gonna bring Montgomery over to Willy Wonka's factory. Yeah.
That's what we need, Montgomery. You need to come over and free us.
Normally, I do treasure hunting, more of archaeology. But you know, I'm come through.
When the chair needs to come, sometimes the chair needs to be used.
Exactly.
Well, and the hat needs to be thrown.
Oh. Mm. True.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially when you have to deal with like nosy bitches like this first story.
Whoa! Oh, did you send me it?
Am I the asshole for calling my coworker a nosy bitch after she kept insisting to know my husband's salary?
Yeah. No, you're not. Get out my husband's salary. Why you
get out. Get sent you some business.
Yeah.
Ice Spice, I knew you would say that.
And I can tell people my salary, but it's $0. We get paid nothing.
Free the Oompa Loompas.
You're like, but honestly, last year we had to pay $60 a year, so
I'm like,
we got a raise.
How am I paying you, bro?
Dang, that's crazy.
Willy Wonka's like, y'all got a raise, in my opinion. So.
To be honest, like, I mean, he always says, I give you housing and that's
right,
your pay.
Right. He's like, all right, right, no more rent. There you go. There's your raise.
I'm like, we sleep in the boat on the Chocolate River. That's a house,
that's
but okay.
Crazy.
Okay.
Okay, so am I the asshole for calling a coworker a nosy bitch after she kept insisting to know my husband's salary? My husband and I, both 33, have been together since college. Over the years, he has had quite the career trajectory. He's a quant PM and makes like $10,000 what I make, and I make a good salary. As we've grown wealthier, I've learned that people become nosier. Friends, acquaintances, relatives, you know it. In the beginning, I would entertain the nosy questions, but since I turned 30, I've adopted a take no shit attitude. When people ask how much he makes, I no longer say anything. I've learned the hard way that giving an exact number can have bad consequences. My coworker, 25, is new and she already has quite the reputation. Very chatty, catty, gossipy, you get the gist. You can just tell she craves wealth and status. She wears a bunch of flashy designer items and is always asking the ladies around the office which of the men are single. Last Friday, our office hosted a happy hour. She approached me and asked me how me and my husband's recent vacation to Europe went. I told her it went well and briefly summarized what we did, and then the conversation went something like this. Her, so what does your husband do? Me, he works in finance. Oh, wow, he must make a ton then by taking you on all these lavish vacations. I hope you don't mind me asking, but how much a year does he make? Yes, we're lucky that he makes a good salary. Polite smile. Her, oh, come on, I won't tell. How much does he rake in a year? Millions? Me, awkward chuckle. I'd rather not to say, but it's up there. Her, wait, he doesn't allow you to give an exact number or something? Me, visibly annoyed, no, I just prefer not to say. Her laughs in my face. You'd think that the stuck-up one would be the one with the money, not the one without. Me, ooh, you should learn how to take no for an answer and when to quit being a nosy bitch. It's a valuable lesson. And then I smiled at her and walked away. Later on, I had a few coworkers reach out to me and say that she was crying and left early, and that I should apologize for calling her a rude name. I refused. I told my mom, and she said that I was too rude to the new girl, and that she's young and might not fully understand salary talk. I think she is old enough. Husband is fully on my side, but said maybe I should fake apologize for the sake of office politics, which I somewhat agree with, but still. Am I the asshole?
Oh, a quant PM is someone who uses quantitative investment strategies to manage the money of pension funds, retail investors, and insurance companies.
Portfolio manager.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And for the big portfolios, like a lot of people you're managing it for.
She in her bag, you feel me? Like, she doing her thing. No. But, no, like, I don't know what it is. Like, people know when they're digging too far. Like, one, like, you know, one laugh off, okay, cool. Next, after like the third time, if you're still pushing for an answer and it's like not easily given, just give up. It's not that hard. You don't need to. What is you knowing how much that person makes going to affect you? Like,
Well, so she can steal her man. And yeah, if he makes a lot of money, then I want him.
Is he asking for handouts?
Millions? Then yeah. I need to know that.
Okay, I guess I wasn't thinking it from that. But
come
still,
on,
like,
Ice Spice.
Sorry, I'm getting back into my bearings, you know. I'm
Ice got her own money. So,
yeah,
so.
Right.
Yeah, I don't need to worry about broke people, you know. but no, it's just
not the leg lift.
I'm a baddie. I know I'm a 10. Chill out.
Exactly.
They pay for that. They pay for what's under here. No.
OnlyFans?
Whoa.
Not OnlyFans. I don't know. Probably doesn't have one.
Yeah, I don't think she does.
But
she don't need one.
Yeah, I think I would know if she had an OnlyFans.
You're like, no reason.
I keep abreast of the situation.
Oompa?
Yeah, it gets boring there. Right. So I support some women on OnlyFans.
You can afford that?
Yeah, how can you afford that?
I'm going broke. I'm stealing. I'm stealing to pay for OnlyFans.
You know so what a credit card is?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I take Willie's and I put his credit card into the yeah.
He's wondering why all these charges are going to cut his
I just find OnlyFans.
And we watch it on the WonkaVision TV.
So you're like there.
Yeah, it's like I can see. I'm like, oh.
Oompa.
Oompa.
Doopity doo. Yeah, I don't think she's the asshole. I think there is a certain level of like nosiness and like, yes, there can be curiosity, but I think she handled it in a nice way of being like, yeah, you know, we do make, you know, good money for ourselves.
Yeah.
I think if you have that relationship to where you're like, hey, I'm really just curious, like, and what do you make, you know? Because I've asked Sam that before.
Yeah. It's like close friends. I'm like, I don't mind if you ask me. And I'm like, yeah, we're close. But I'm like, I'm not disclosing my
right
thing to everybody because nobody needs to know.
Yeah. But like with a new coworker, it's like, nah. Why are you asking me that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I don't think she did anything crazy because the person kept pushing until she was like, okay, I'm going to be abrasive with you.
Right.
Because yeah. You need to stop.
And I think not every single conversation needs to be like communicated like perfectly. Like she didn't have to say, right. I'm not comfortable sharing that with you. Like those slight little jabs leading up to it was like enough for the person to, if they were thinking or with context clues, just be like, okay, that's, yeah, I'm probably crossing a boundary. Like not every time that you had to be like, hey, I'm not comfortable with this. Stop asking me.
Right. And I think you're almost justified because she kind of said something snide to her. She was like, well, I thought the stuck up person would be the one with, right? Like that was a shot, right?
Yeah.
So I just shot right back at you. That, like, I felt like she was just responding to that. Like, okay, I'm stuck up. You a nosy bitch then.
Stuck up with no money?
Yeah. Nosy. Yeah. It couldn't be me. I couldn't be stuck up and broke. And that's what you are.
It's tough life.
Yeah. That's awful. You can't live like that.
Sam's just like, I'm still there. I'm still roasting I'm her. She's broke. Walking away.
I'm just broke. Help me. I'm Free broke. Us. I'm going to debt from all the OnlyFans accounts that I'm supporting. It's a bad life. It sucks to be here.
Would you ever quit?
I can't.
Take a fizzy lifting drink.
Yeah, I
remember. So
are you like locked
that.
In there? Like, how are you even here now?
So I had my cousin like step in for me because we all look pretty much the same. So he was supposed to be asleep, but he's working for me right now.
So this is against the rules to be here.
I should not be here.
So you're like breaking a deal, like this next story.
Yes.
Wait, I don't think Steph said anything.
It doesn't matter. She transitions. The transition holds.
My opinion belongs in a museum.
Breaking our deal. I didn't even read any of these.
Did you want to say something?
Sure. I think like not the a-hole, of course. But I mean, the only difference is if you want to make yourself look better in the office, could have been nicer about it. But that's about it, honestly. But
yeah.
That's it.
Am I the asshole for refusing to forgive my dad for breaking our deal? In this case, it would be Wonka.
He's not my dad.
I remember
he might think he's my dad. He's not my dad.
He stole me.
I have parents. who died in the slavery that we're in.
How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I'm 49.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry. Yeah. You're old.
You're like really tall.
Yeah. I've been in this for a while, yeah. This is all I've known.
Do you have kids or like?
Yep. 6 kids.
They all work with you?
They all work with me.
Wow.
And pretty much from when they're 3, he's like, as soon as they walk, you're gone.
So if they start walking early, like
if they start working, it's whenever you walk. So we try to hold them. We're like, don't walk. But he checks every day. He's like, they're walking yet? They're either crawling. And I'm like, kids, do not walk. And my kid, just stupid kid, got up, started running. I'm like, oh my gosh.
He ran right into the wake first after that one.
He's like, off to the chute. Throws them in the chute. They had the clean chutes now.
He doesn't trick them with candy. It's just like healthy stuff.
Yeah,
The living conditions are so bad.
We don't know what healthy. We don't know what food is. We only eat candy.
You want a banana?
Yeah. These broccoli?
Yeah, we're like, yum!
You like the only fruit we know is cocoa beans.
Am I the asshole for refusing to forgive my dad for breaking our deal? When I, 17 male, was 8, my parents bought me a piano and signed me up for lessons. I was super excited because I love music. Over time, I kind of became known as the piano guy at school. I play at school, concerts, accompany the school jazz choir, and play once a week for the residents at a couple of retirement homes in our town. When I was 15, I started to talk about quitting lessons, and my parents quickly tried to guilt me out of it. I told them I wanted to try other things, and that between piano and studying, I didn't have much time left for extracurriculars. My dad proposed a deal. If I kept playing and taking lessons until I reached level 10 RCM, Royal Conservatory of Music, and continued to keep my grades up at school, he would buy me a new car of my choice. I jumped at it and we shook hands on the deal. I should explain that my family is well off financially. I have a very privileged life, but I wouldn't say I've been spoiled. If I ever want a luxury item like a new phone or a game console, I have to buy it myself with money I've saved from the summer and after school jobs. I should also explain that my dad's big on loopholes, and when we compete, he always finds a way to win, and when I do, it doesn't count because of some loophole. It drives me nuts, but he thinks it's hilarious. Whenever I complain about him not playing fair, his answer is always the same. Hey, life isn't fair. So because of our deal, I kept up with my lessons. I spent about 1 to 2 hours a day on piano while keeping my grades up. Last summer, I took my level 9 RCM exams, and I passed, fulfilling my part of the deal. I told my dad I had chosen the BMW X5 plug-in hybrid SUV.
Dang.
Got taste.
A couple of months ago, on my birthday, I came downstairs for breakfast and my dad told me that there was a surprise waiting for me in the garage.
Yes.
I ran out and sitting in the middle of the floor was a 1 out of 24 scale toy BMW X5. My dad burst out laughing and said, a deal's a deal. So as promised, here's your brand new BMW. My heart absolutely broke. I asked if he was being serious, and he said I couldn't seriously have expected him to buy a 17-year-old a real brand new BMW and that we would discuss getting a reasonably priced used car. I said we had a deal, and I fulfilled my end of the deal. He said that he did too, since I never said that the car had to be full size and drivable. I said he wasn't being fair, and his response, hey, life isn't fair. Ever since this happened, I've been distant with my dad. I honestly feel like he betrayed my trust and that he deliberately made a fool out of me. He keeps bringing up the idea of a used car, but I told him I'm not interested, which I'll admit is kind of petty. I have enough money saved so I can buy a cheap used car myself. I just feel like if I accept one from him now, it's like saying that breaking his promise didn't matter and that he didn't do anything wrong. Am I the asshole?
Hey, his dad is Rumpelstiltskin, man.
For real. Dude,
that's so funny of him trying to get loopholes out of all of his agreements.
Like, do you like your kids?
Do you like him?
What's the purpose of even doing that?
Of, like, betraying the trust in a way?
Yeah.
Humiliating him in a way? Making him feel stupid?
After a while, it's not even funny. Like, it's, I mean, yeah, it's like, haha, gotcha. Right. Oh, we're getting a used car. But it, no, like, if you had some sort of stipulation that you weren't going to do, then you could have been from the start been like, all right, I'm not going to get your hopes up that I'm going to buy you a new.
Right.
Obviously, if the kid came like, oh, let me get a Lamborghini, that'd be different. But it was like, all right.
Yeah.
You could have said something about, we can't get you a BMW or something like that.
That's your second choice.
Yeah.
Right. Not just, here you go. Like, laugh in your face. Like, that's not even a dad joke. Like,
actually, you're right. Because
messed up.
I was going to say, you're the asshole for not just accepting it. Like, it's just a pointless joke. But the fact that he did let the son believe for a couple months, he's like, he didn't say anything. He was like, okay.
Right.
But I would have been.
It was 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that long, and you didn't say anything, and then you make this joke that is messed up. Because the joke is you put the car like inside another car, like a real car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, I honestly wasn't, there's no way I'd get you a BMW. Because I totally get that part. I'm not getting my 17-year-old kid a brand new BMW. I totally get that. But making him believe that he was going to get it, that's messed up for so long. You're saying it was 2 years that he was believing?
And you could have at least got him just a new car in general.
Yeah, just get him a car. Yeah. Like, you have to get him a car there because right. That's what makes it funny. You're like, no, I did get you something.
That's the start of a villain arc.
For real.
His villain arc's going to go so stupid.
And then to make it worse, the kid was literally like, yo, I'm stressed out. I got no free time because I'm always practicing piano and always doing homework. Right. I'm like, you just ruined his life for the past 2 years because he was focusing so hard on something. And now you just taught him like, yeah, don't trust you. Don't trust people that say, hey, I'm going to do this to achieve my goals, because at the end of the day, life's not fair. And, you know, no one's going to come through with their word that they said. Like, that's what you're trying to teach him right now.
So now he's not going to trust anybody. He's just going to go through life not trusting nobody. It's like, no, you're lying to me. My dad lied to me all the
multiple
time.
Times. Yeah, I think that was really messed up because, like you said, he's ruining a passion that the son really has by pushing him to achieve something when he's really young. Mm-hmm. He could have achieved that still, like, as time went on, mm-hmm. maybe with like within 10 years because he still had other hobbies, and maybe he was just practicing maybe like 30 minutes a day instead of an hour to 2 hours a day.
Right.
It really sucks that he felt comfortable to go voice his opinion to his dad, and his dad is like, no, you should do this, like, kind of strong-arming him, convincing him to do something for 2 years. He's like, you're gonna get this dream car that you want. I think that's enough to be like, if you have the money to do it, that's what we're gonna give you, because mm-hmm. for 2 years you are practicing every single day mm-hmm. to achieve this goal. That is such a big goal for a teenager right. who has potentially a job, who's in school. Like, that is such a huge goal. That is a really good, like, dream. That's a crazy car, right? But his goal that he has was so crazy that he had for his son.
Right.
And the fact that he achieved that, I think maybe it is worth him getting exactly what he was promised. And the fact that it just really sucks to have your hopes up. You think your dad's going to come through on something, and your dad makes a joke out of it. He makes, like you said, he makes you feel stupid. And like, yes, maybe it's not the best idea to get a 17-year-old car, a new car.
Yeah.
But you promised him that.
Yeah. You should have been clear with what you were going to do.
Your word is your bond.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I do think on one hand, like, we do things to get better. We do things to practice. We don't always get rewarded for it. So, like, that is a normal real life thing. You can work hard and not get rewarded for it. But also, the dad should be teaching. You should be keeping your word. Like, keeping your word is so important that you need to keep it. And he's teaching them, like, hey, the word don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. I can just say things to people and I don't have to mean it, because my dad literally taught me that my entire life. And that's where I feel the dad should have been clear about what his intentions were. He should have said exactly what he was going to do. It's not a funny joke. It's just, you literally just lied. That's all you did was lying.
Yeah. Because I know growing up as a kid, like, when your parents would say something like, oh, we'll go to the store to get you a toy.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. And tomorrow comes. You're like looking outside and you're like, yo, it's kind of late to get to the store to get this toy. And then they're like, oh, we'll do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. That is so crushing for a child. And so, like, considering where he's at, probably, like, you know, just after puberty and all this stuff, like, those, like, emotions, they're still, like, are trying to find control. And the fact that he had something that crushing happen during that time period, and it's like, 17, you're ending high school. You're like getting close. So it's like, a car would be nice. And you said, if I do this thing, that I'm going to get a new one. I'm going to go gung-ho for whatever you need me to do, you know? And so the fact that it was all that buildup just for a stupid joke.
For him being 17 years old and he has all that discipline, even 15 years old, and even when he was younger, that is crazy, because I didn't start being disciplined myself until I was like 17 or 18. And that was the beginning of me slowly becoming more disciplined into something, right? You know, and there was a lot of trial and error of other things where I was like, oh, I want to try this. I'm so excited to do it. I swear I'll commit to it, Mom. Loses interest after she paid for it.
Loses interest
after she paid for it. And so it was kind of funny that
go ahead, you sis.
When I was 17 or 18, I actually got I had to do an internship for class, and it had to do with photography. And I started taking pictures, and I had to have a commitment, which was only once a week, to take pictures. But it was the start of me finding an interest in something.
It's the start of something new. It feels so right to be here with you. Oh.
And now.
Looking in your eyes.
Da, 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 da.
The start of something new. Don't look at me like High School Musical wasn't it.
He wasn't a Disney kid.
That's so embarrassing.
No, I was. It just wasn't a lot of Disney episodes and movies.
Episodes.
But what honestly makes me mad, we talked about in the last episode, but pranks are dumb. It's just like doing a husband prank. You know what I'm saying? Like, this next story!
I took the eye.
Am I the asshole for throwing away the Elf on the Shelf and ruining Christmas for my kids after my husband's prank?
Wait.
Did we do this?
No. You threw the Elf away and ruined the kids' Christmas because the husband's prank? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Wait. What did he do? The Elf is like, oh, I'm in your lingerie.
Maybe the kids were involved in the prank.
The Elf's like twerking.
The Elf's like, ah. That naughty Elf, what is he doing now?
The Elf is dressed up as Ice Spice. Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me, but I always feel like the Elf on the Shelf is creepy. It creeps me out.
It is creepy, especially how it moves.
Yeah.
I don't know what the obsession is with it. I feel like people either, you, really hate it or, love them. And they're like, Christmas is not the same without them.
Because you're like, what is he getting into? And I'm like, what is he getting into? That's what I'm like, what is he getting into?
Yeah, he's literally eating my cookies. Yeah.
What's he getting into? What are you trying to do?
Trey Rag, stop. Yeah.
He's in the fridge. I'm like, what are you doing in the fridge, Elf?
Chilling,
and he's just got that, and it's that smug look too. Like it's not like a hi, you got me. It's like a
you're like, he's so coy, and I don't like it.
I don't hate him. Yeah, I do. I do. It's just like, bro, I wouldn't hate him if he didn't have that look and was just in inconvenient spots. Like, why are people so obsessed with him? I can't understand.
They love him.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
How do you feel about elves? Because I feel like y'all in the same boat.
No.
Oh.
They actually have a union. Santa's paying them. Oh, that's so crazy. It's actually a good gig. Okay. I've been trying to get up there, but Willie will not let us go.
Right.
But I got a couple friends up there in North Pole living it up.
They got a ton of vacation
time.
Yeah,
they have so much vacation. Mm. They literally only work for the month of December, then there's vacation until it's crazy.
I'm coming through.
Yeah. Hey. We need you. We need you.
We need you.
Okay, so am I the asshole for throwing away the Elf on the Shelf and ruining Christmas for my kids after my husband's prank? For context, this year was the first time we would try the Elf on the Shelf with our kids. We have three kids, Lucas, 9 male, Andy, 8 male, and Claire, 5 female. Where Lucas and Andy are from our past relationships. However, my husband, Miles, male 37, has accepted Andy as his, and so did I, female 35, with Lucas. Every Christmas is special for Andy. His B-Day is on December 24th. His dad started a tradition where Santa would have consideration with him for being a kid of Christmas, so he feels magical and special. I would always try and give him this. Last year, I left Santa Claus footsteps, ate a carrot and grass he left for Rudolph, stuff like that.
What are Santa Claus footsteps?
Like where you have powder, you throw powder on the ground, and then you big boots. Like,
I'm like, Santa, you're messy ass. You're leaving stuff in my house.
It's just mud.
Santa's not allowed in here anymore.
It's like a reindeer poop.
Yeah. You just actually drop poop.
The reindeer came in the house too?
Rudolph was in here.
Santa don't know how to clean up after himself. I don't think he should be here.
So I was like, hey, Rudolph's like, what?
Huh? Eating a carrot? Stuff like that. My husband doesn't think it's a good idea. I do all that for him, and I'm showing favoritism. So we shut it down. Because of my ex's decision to create a tradition without considering my other kids' feelings, I disagree, since I do consider the three of them my kids. But he asked if we could do something else, like Elf on the Shelf. I had no problem with it, but I didn't know how that works. He explained it to me quickly, and since he was the one who offered, I let him do it. We bought the cute elf. My kids named it Bob. Hey. My husband explained that they should behave and never touch slash hold Bob if they don't want it to be naughty. At first, it was cute to see them spy on Bob, try and see it fly each night. Andy was the most excited of all. I found him one night talking with it, asking if Santa still remembered him. But my husband took seriously the behave or Bob would be naughty part. Lucas was his first victim after he didn't do his chores. The next day, his face was drawn with Sharpie markers. Then Claire, who touched Bob, and her favorite onesie was destroyed.
Oh my God.
Apparently, Bob had cut some pieces of it while she was sleeping. Miles was having fun, but I could see the kids weren't. I talked to him about how we should lower the pranks. He agreed, but he wanted to catch Andy since he hadn't broken any rules.
Oh, you gotta catch him. Oh no.
I told him that Bob's supposed to tell Santa instead of being naughty. We argued, but he finally agreed. Fast forward, it's Christmas Eve, and in the afternoon, we had some of Andy's friends to celebrate his birthday. So the kids were playing in the backyard, but my husband looked sus. I decided to look for Bob.
What's Bob doing?
He was planting them. Yeah.
It was supposed to be in the kitchen, but it wasn't there. I asked Miles where it was, and he told me, no idea. I started getting paranoid, but Andy asked if we could cut the cake already. I put my best face on and went for it. The cake was in a box, and when Andy opened the box, he started crying. I took a look, and it's ruined. Bob was covered in it, appearing that he had been eating the cake. Half of the cake wasn't there anymore. Miles started laughing, and so did some of the other parents. My blood is boiling, and I grab Bob and throw it in the trash. Then I grab Miles. We have a terrible argument. He calls me an asshole for what I did to Bob, and that I've ruined him. How are we supposed to keep the magic with our kids if I wasn't supposed to touch Bob? And then there's a few edits.
Oh my gosh. Last story, the dad was Rumpelstiltskin. This story, the dad's Jigsaw. Like, this is crazy.
Like, the fact that he wanted to specifically get the kid.
Yeah.
He's aiming for it. This is not for punishment. This is not to like reprimand you. I'm like, I'm trying to get you.
Right. Because it was like, oh, you guys messed up on your chores, so I punished you. Yeah. And then, like, this one, he was just like, nah, we gonna get him. Yeah. Like, I haven't gotten him yet. Like, why?
Cutting the daughter's what?
Favorite onesie.
What? That's a menace.
That is a menace. Scary.
That's low-key horrifying.
Yeah.
Especially because it's like, as the wife, I can definitely see her being like, why are you doing this? This is not a prank. Like, you're going really far
It's just a prank, bro.
With these jokes. And it's like, it's not making the kids laugh. It's making them sad. You can do something else and have it be a prank and have everyone, you know, then be mad for like 5 minutes or just be like confused or whatever. And it still be funny. And you don't have to do such. Because what was the first prank that he did to the first little boy?
Drew on
his face with a Sharpie.
Oh.
Which, that one could be more of a prank, but
it's
like,
not that's funny very juvenile.
It's not funny.
But wasn't it also the youngest kid, too, that happened?
Yeah, that's
so, like,
weird.
The youngest kid wouldn't respond to it the same way as the older.
Yeah.
No, the youngest kid was the little girl that had her stuff.
That's kind of worse.
That's kind of psycho to me.
Prank him, John.
I think it was the middle child who was.
Either way.
Because that's not discipline. No. Like, cutting up just their things.
You don't gain anything from. Like, that's not a reprimand.
Right.
That doesn't help the person grow as a person.
And were they being punished for touching?
Just touching it or looking at it.
So that's the punishment. Like, this dumb rule we made up is not real. And you're like, well, you did it, so.
They're not really doing anything bad.
Yeah.
They're just touching Bob.
And it's different if it, like you said, like a dumb rule we made up. It'd be different if it was like, hey, don't touch the elf. Not. If you touch the elf, it's going to be naughty.
That's going to
entice the kids to want to mess around with the elf.
I'm probably going
to
touch it.
So it's like, hey, we got this elf up here. Don't touch it. It's expensive or something like that. That's different.
Yeah.
Like, giving a reason to say, don't touch this elf. But like saying, it's going to be naughty if you do. It's going to do bad things. That's like, oh, yeah, let me touch the elf.
What's
it
going to do? That's what I swear the kid's going to wake up and like, you want to play a game? Like, that's what I was getting vibes from him. It is Jigsaw.
Yeah, I think it's really messed up.
Yeah, he's crazy.
I would have definitely, I would have yelled at him when he yelled, when he did it to the second baby with the cutting up the clothes. Because I see where it's like, okay, like you said, it's not really funny with the Sharpie on the face, but I guess it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Whatever. But the moment he cut up the little baby's like clothes, I'm
her
like,
favorite?
Why are you doing this? And then I could see where this is like her final straw of like, you ruined a birthday cake that we paid for.
And there's kids here waiting, like, can't wait to get some cake. There's no cake there to have.
So I was confused a little bit in the beginning because I think Lucas is her child. I think, is that his name? Lucas?
I thought Lucas was his child, but maybe.
But it doesn't seem like he likes Lucas.
Seems like he doesn't like any of the kids.
So Lucas.
I think they both had kids from before.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then probably one together.
Yeah, I guess Lucas together. Is his kid.
He doesn't like any kids. He hates kids.
Yeah, because they apparently did a tradition for Lucas where they would he would consult with Santa.
Yeah.
And then they did the little footsteps and stuff, which I don't think is that bad. And then he was like, I don't want to do favoritism with the kids, which is understandable. But then he does this, and it's like, bro, do you seriously have it out for your son, Lucas?
Well, he's like, I got to make things equal. He's like, I did all. Like,
y'all all get it.
Yeah, you all get it. I don't care if you touched it.
Also,
I like things being equal.
Did she say something about her ex?
No.
If I was the ex, I'm coming in there. What did you do to my kid?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so edit.
We're divorced.
Hi, everyone. So the response has been really overwhelming. I'm sorry if it took some time to answer. I was kind of avoiding the post since I was conflicted by the possible outcome. I'm going through all of your comments so I can answer some of your questions. I'll also explain things you have doubts in. One, Andy's dad is from Canada. He visits Andy every spring and summer on Christmas break. This year he stayed for his job and he isn't an absent parent. Two, after Andy's B-Day party, I told Miles to get out of the house, and so he did. He spent Christmas with the in-laws. I stayed with the kids, and all of them slept in Andy's room. My kids didn't want to leave their brother alone.
Aww.
The next morning, we opened the gifts, and I made sure that Andy could feel special after what happened on his B-Day. So I wrote a note from Bob saying that he's sorry if he scared him and his siblings, and he didn't do his job correctly, so now he would be flying to the North Pole with Santa. And when he asked if Santa still remembered the kid of Christmas, he did. Santa was really happy to see him. Three, my kids and I are okay. We're sleeping at my parents' house and we would celebrate New Year's Eve here too. Four, yes, Claire was using the onesie while she was sleeping. My husband took the idea of TikTok and no, Andy did nothing to be attacked by Bob. So that was the one thing I feel so bad for the little boy is the dad was looking for something to do to punish Andy.
Yeah.
And he was like, he hasn't done anything bad. And then he does that thing to his freaking birthday cake after Andy's already like, how does Santa remember me? Because they're not doing that thing for Andy anymore.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe the husband did have it out because I think Andy was the one that had the birthday on the 24th.
Yeah.
And so he was like, let's not do something specifically for Andy, which is your son. Let's do something for all of our kids.
That changes it so much.
Mm-hmm. That's messed up.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he's bad.
I love how all the other kids, though, were just corralling around him.
Yeah, that was really sweet.
I was like, dang, maybe he's becoming the favorite of the household. And the dad's just jealous about it.
Even if I was a kid, I'm like, Mom, I know you're lying. Bob didn't write this. I watched you throw him in the trash. So who is this Bob letter? Where did this come from?
Who's the Bob Poster?
Yeah.
The Bob Poster.
And Pop Bob.
Ice Spice going
crazy.
I was going to say something else, too.
You better be 10.
Ice Spice and Montgomery with the jokes tonight.
Yeah, y'all going crazy.
Montgomery Jones.
I definitely don't get this, like, the husband, like, at all. But, like, I don't like pranks at all. Like,
yeah.
But I kind of want, I don't know if there's like anybody out there that listens to this or, you know, you guys don't really do pranks either, right?
Like no, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't like pranking people and I don't like pranks.
Well, I guess I do jokes, but I don't know if they're like full on pranks.
Well, you guys have a prank with the hat thing.
I mean, that's it's harmless.
It's a prank.
Okay, wait. If it's not harmless, it's not a prank, though.
the pranks have to be harmful?
No. If it's not harmless. So like if it is harmful, that's not a prank.
It's a crime. Oh.
Yeah.
Pranks are harmless?
Yes. Pranks are harmless.
They're supposed to be, but I don't know.
Yeah, we were just talking about the last episode, the guy who got shot because he was like harassing a guy. He was doing a prank video and he was like getting all up in this guy, and then the guy shot him. He was like, what
triggered this? Yeah, that's not a prank.
It was not a prank to that guy. He was like,
ooh. And was not guilty.
Found not guilty. Good for him.
Would you consider that a prank?
I don't think it's a...
I think it's more...
It could be a prank.
Yeah.
To you guys want to explain what you do?
So, Sam came to my house for a shoot day, and he's like, yo, I want you to have this hat. And I was like...
Yeah, I can't wear this hat anymore.
I don't want...
It's like an old, dirty white Adidas hat.
And I was like, I don't want this hat, dude. And it's not even the style of hat I wear.
Yeah,
so I was like,
would never.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want this hat.
And also, Sam's head is bigger than Brandon. Yeah. So it's like really overworn.
Well, that was the thing. It was tight on my head. I'm like, I can't wear it. It hurts. It's painful. I know he has a smaller head than me, so I'm giving it to him.
And I put it on, and I was like, yeah, see, it's not for me. And then he just left. So then the next day he came, I put it
in my windshield wiper.
In the windshield wiper.
And then ran
away. And then me and Maddie got in the car, and we drove off.
And that's still... Maddie's reflexes, because I was a second. If she had closed her door a second later, it would have been inside the door.
I closed the door and locked that door so fast.
Oh, Maddie, you slick.
I was like, we survived the horror movie in that way.
And then I brought it to church, and I left it in his desk.
Yeah. And I was like, all right. And so then the next time, I put it on the back windshield of his car. So when he drove off, and I was like, and he was like, gone. I was like, hey, Sam, you ever check your back windshield wipers? No reason. And he just sent me ... I forget what else you said. You said something else.
There was anger. I know there was anger.
There was a lot of angst and anger in it. And I was just like, and then you
left it in your bathroom.
Left it in my bathroom on a shoot day.
On a mannequin. With a ski mask, which is another joke of ours.
Just a reoccurring joke.
So I guess that is a prank. Yeah now that's I'm trying it. That's a prank.
Or like, if the dad was to just, I don't know about the onesie, because that'd be hard if she's wearing it.
Yeah.
But like, for the cake, you could, if the kid actually did something bad too, not just doing this on for no reason, but like if the kid did something not bad, but like with Bob,
yeah,
you could have just hid the cake somewhere else and left a clue to say, oh, look here. Then Bob's just like, oh, I hid the cake, and maybe ate one slice or something, like, or had his hand in the cake like he was about to eat it. I don't know. Like, that's something where it's different, where it's like, oh, it's a prank.
I think you are right about it being harmless, because I do think a prank is like, have a messed up cake, but then have a good cake
or that too
later. Like, it has to be harmless, where you're like, oh, the shock of it. You're like, really? And then you find out, like, oh, it was just a prank. Because you have to say it was just a prank, because you're like, you come back, the cake's messed up. You're like, oh, he's like, it's a prank. So like, okay, how do we recover from it? You're like, oh, actually, I just ruined the cake.
I'm just a bad person.
He's like, that's not a prank.
Even with like ruining one cake and then bring another out, like you have to almost overdo what you did bad with something even better.
Yeah.
Because then if it's just like, oh, I ruined the cake, and then you're like, oh, crying. It's like, ah, just kidding. I brought your cake. It's like, this doesn't make me feel any better. You just have a cake now.
It's
like,
two cakes.
Right.
One messed up one good one. Yeah, two of them.
Extra cake.
This one is from r/creepy encounters, and it's titled, I Dated a Murderer. I had gotten out of an 8-year abusive relationship and met someone on a popular online dating app. To be honest, I wasn't looking for anything serious, just someone to go watch a movie or have a drink with every now and then. I had 2 boys and was happy and living a peaceful life on my own after going through hell. So I met this guy who was just a couple years older than me. He had turned his whole life around. When he was younger, he used to be in gangs and drugs, and now he was into working out and staying really fit and doing family stuff. I guess you can say I felt protected by him. He was a hard worker, self-sufficient, and had a son, and he loved going to the gym every day. I myself had kind of a crazy past, but overcame, and we seemed like a good fit. We would go to dinner, movies, normal dating stuff, but he eventually wanted to spend more and more time together. And I was having trouble giving up all of my free time for him, and he would get really angry about this. Like, really angry. After being with a controlling, possessive asshole for so long, this was obviously a red flag, and after 3 months, I told him that I didn't want to see him anymore. He said that he needed to confess something to me. He admitted to me that he was using steroids, and that was the reason for his mood swings. He cried and said that he was sure that was the reason and was willing to stop if it meant he could have another chance, and I obliged.
Nah, but, you gotta get out, girl.
But only under the condition that we remain friends. Things were okay for a while. We saw each other maybe every other week, and he started wanting to see me every week, to which I told him that I was not interested in being anything other than friends at the moment, since I was not ready for a relationship. He tried to talk me into giving him another chance, but I just didn't find myself interested in him in a romantic way, so I insisted that we just be friends. Mm. I stopped talking to him because I got mad at his insistence that we still talk every day, since he said that's what friends do. He would always ask about my whereabouts and ask for pictures of who I was hanging out with. I told him that that is not what friends do, and he just insisted that he just innocently wanted to see what I was up to. Well, fast forward 6 months later, and I hadn't spoken to him at all within that time. I was happy and living my life, and one particular night when my youngest son was at his dad's, I went out to a local bar with some friends. My oldest son was 13 at the time and was home alone, so I left a little early to make it home around 10 p.m. I lay down in bed and go to sleep. So, a little info on my living situation. I've been living in my condo for almost a year now, and we lived in a great, safe community, and I would leave my patio sliding glass door open, screen closed, to get a breeze in at night. No biggie. My bedroom was close to the patio, and my son would sleep in the loft that was closest to the front door. I'm dead asleep when I suddenly feel someone slowly sit on my bed. I'm laying in bed wondering why my son would come sit on my bed so slowly. He wouldn't. I turn around and it's not him. It's Mario, not his real name. Laying down in bed next to me. I sit up and I ask how he got in. He's not answering me. He said, I needed to talk to you. I said, okay. When you need to talk to someone, you don't sneak into someone's room. You call them. Right. You leave a note for them. Literally anything but this. I'm thinking I'm going to kill my kid for letting him in. And he said, I didn't have your number anymore. I needed to talk to you before it was too late. I didn't even entertain the before it's too late bit. I was livid. But something told me to keep my cool. I sit up and I say, look, I really want to talk to you too, but not like this. Please just leave and I'll promise we'll talk tomorrow. Call me tomorrow. He gets up and walks over to my side of the bed and starts rubbing my shoulders and is slowly making his way to my neck. He says, do you really want to talk? And I look him in the eyes and I say, yes, I've been wanting to talk to you, but not like this. Please call tomorrow. He stares at me while rubbing my neck and goes down to my shoulders and says, okay. This motherfucker proceeds to exit through the patio door and jumps my patio wall, which tells me this is exactly how he got in. I freak the fuck out. Check on my kid. He had no idea what was going on. I locked all my doors. I don't sleep the rest of the night. The next day, I text him and I tell him that if I ever see him near me or in my complex, I will call the police and to never contact me again. If you're wondering why I didn't call the cops to begin with, I knew he had a gun, so I was scared of being retaliated against for being a snitch. And B, I figured if I just called the cops, they would probably not do much or just let him out. I was afraid of what he would do after the fact. Either way, he left me alone and I didn't hear from him for years. 4 years later, I'm going through Facebook and I see his picture. I see his face in the people you may know. I click on the picture and notice that it looks like a jail picture. You know, those pictures where guys are clearly in a jail cell.
Right.
I scroll down the page and his most recent post is him printing his address for his family members to write to, a prison address. So I Google his name and sure enough, articles after articles are with the same headline, man arrested on suspicion of killing girlfriend. About 2 years after I dated him, he shot and killed the girl he was dating. This could have been me, and I feel like shit thinking if there was anything I could have done to stop him. Even scarier though, is that he only got 12 years for murder.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's crazy how she had such an instinct, though, to play it cool.
Yeah.
And to not alarm him.
Right.
To be like, to convince him to leave the house.
Don't escalate. Well, don't escalate. Let's leave.
To be fair, she said her past was like, but not, I don't remember how she described it, but she said how he used to be in gangs and like her past wasn't like the cleanest either.
He was abusive.
And also, yeah, the previous abusive boyfriend would have been another reason to be like, all right, I'm just... not make him upset, because if I do, I might die or get hurt or something. Right. So she probably, unfortunately, had the training to know to not upset him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
maybe it was fortunate in that situation. I don't know, but like, jeez.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah. How do you?
But I'm glad at the beginning that she did break it off. Like, I already see you're acting weird. You're getting possessive. You're already acting weird. We're 3 months in. I'm out. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, it's a steroid. She's like, okay, we could be friends. Like, she's like, no, I'm not. Like, I see the signs. I've been through this before. I love that when people actually learn from their mistakes and what they did in the past. We're like, I chose wrong before, and I'm not going to choose wrong again. So good on her for, like, actually respecting that. Because I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, you're right. It probably was a drug. I will actually give you a full another chance and we'll be together.
Nah, but even still, like, if it is the drugs, like, all right, that's part of you. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to stick with this because it's making you like this. Oh, I'm going to stop. Sure. Okay. Like,
and she's like, no, we can chill. Like, it's so, like, it was fun, but you're weirding me out. You're scaring me. And I forgot what comedian said that. It was like, men's biggest predator, like, we're always scared. We're like scared of bears, or we're scared of like a rattlesnake or something. But women's biggest predators are men.
Men.
And that's what I'm like, I'm dating now. And just to know what it's like to be a woman dating a man, I'm like, I would be scared all the time because I don't know any of you. We're just pictures. We're just little avatars. And you go meet this person, you don't know what kind of guy it is. Mm-hmm. You hope they're just normal guys.
That's why I hate dating apps.
It's the worst. It's like a serial killer's dream.
But like, dating apps, it's just like any social media. You have to put your best, not you don't have to, but like, you put your best foot forward at all times. And it's always like, you don't really know who I am until we meet each other. And even still,
right?
You, unless you pick up on like subtle clues that are just in the personality, yeah, you still don't know who they are. It's just like, as weird as it is, it's easier to date people you know. Because it's just like, oh, I've seen you for the past however many years, and I know how you are.
Yeah. Like, unless you get on those dating apps and you kind of got that pretty privilege, like this next story.
Oh, like Ice Spice over here.
No. Not the tongue.
No, yes. Pretty privilege does not help on dating apps because it's not going to actually relate. It's not going to lead to anything good.
Pretty privilege is worse.
It's going to be worse.
You're a target if you got pretty privilege. You're in danger.
Am I the asshole for reporting my classmates for joking that I have pretty privilege?
This could go so many
ways.
Yeah,
I don't know what
this is going to happen. This could go so many ways.
Okay. Background. I am female 23, one of the only few female students in a male-dominated course. Furthermore, I am at a highly prestigious university, and I haven't really gotten along with the guys on my course. They're all very competitive, and I just don't really enjoy their company. Everything turns into a pissing contest, and they definitely take me less serious because I'm a woman. I stopped interacting with them beyond the mere minimum and choose to hang out with other people. Anyway, I did well in our recent exams. I topped 2 out of 4 exams we've had so far. Our professor congratulating me during class, I wouldn't have advised this myself. Ever since then, my interactions with a specific group of male classmates has gotten weird. They're now outright rude and challenge me aggressively in class discussions. We've recently had some presentations, and one of them chose to do theirs on, to put it simply, pretty privilege. They specifically pointed to 2 papers that suggested that pretty female students get overscored in assessments. Mm. The other guys in the group snickered, and one even gave me a wink. Afterwards, I heard them in the hallway joking that they had experience with that themselves. I've been seeing a PhD student within our department for a month. He has literally nothing to do with our course. Well, we ran into one of my course mates A together. The next day in class, his friend B asked if my boyfriend helped with exams. He said this intentionally loudly in front of my professor, who heard this. I replied that I don't have a boyfriend because he's not my boyfriend. But then B pointed out that he had run into me with the PhD student, making a point to say his name. The professor knows him. I just replied that we're only friends. This did not let up. I heard they discussed this thing in 2 more classes, in earshot of the professors. Both times they suggested that I got help for my exams. I wasn't even seeing him then. I didn't confront them, but this has been causing me so much anxiety, even without the exam accusations. I worked hard to get here, and I don't want to be known among the faculty for my dating life. I raised this issue with my supervisor without the intention of taking it any further, but I wanted her advice as a woman in academia. She convinced me to let her email their supervisors to remind them of proper conduct and describe their treatment of an unnamed female student. She didn't name me, but they figured it out. Right. They confronted me after class and asked why I would report their silly joke. Apparently, their supervisors are now very cold towards them and less interested in helping. It's not a formal complaint, only their supervisors know, but one of them, C, said his supervisor writes the reports for his financial aid / scholarship, and it was my fault if he lost out on that. I now feel a bit embarrassed, and this was compounded by a friend telling me that I took it too far, because C shouldn't lose out on his scholarship. So Reddit, am I the asshole?
Hold up. So you telling me there's no consequences to the actions you decide to do? If it's just a prank.
Pranks. This episode's about pranks.
Just joking around, just making pranks. It's not that serious. Like, she's pretty privileged. So I shouldn't lose my scholarship because I was saying all these different things. Like, what?
Right.
What? Consequences. Especially if you're going to this prestigious school, then you should be held to a higher standard. So it's just like, were you spoiled growing up? Probably. Like, bro, you not see what you're doing?
It just doesn't seem like he has respect for women, either of them, because the fact that now they're pissed that, like you said, there's consequences to their actions. It's like they're trying to make the woman OP feel bad for them being, misogynistic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
And I think it just sucks for her being a woman where you're like, okay, I'm probably in a field where there's not a lot of women around. I'm being successful in it. I'm leading in two of these exams. And so I want to be respected for what I'm doing, but I also want to don't rock the boat. I don't want to like make a bigger deal out of it because when she said one thing, they went crazy and like they're saying all these awful things about her. It's like, what do you do when you're like, I don't want to make a big deal, but I also, there's something wrong that's happening, but it's something like insidious. It's not something like overt.
Especially because they say it was jokes, but in a way they were trying to ruin her reputation.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to undermine her.
And mm-hmm. I feel like in school, like your reputation is everything. So the fact that they were trying to do that in front of the professors and make them maybe second guess, like, was she cheating?
Multiple courses or multiple classes. I can't remember. Like, same course, different class, right?
Yeah,
I think that's what it was. But even still, it's just like, that's even worse, if anything, because it's just like, just really trying to make the professor really question, like, wait, are you sure?
Yeah.
And also, that's such a personal topic to talk about in class.
Yeah.
Like, well, she's dating this one guy. Like, I'm not dating him. Like, why would you bring that up in any college course except for in a casual conversation, like point during the class where, it was just still like, that sounds like it was just like, you're learning and then speaking across the class like, hey, by the way, like.
And I guess like we were just talking about in that early episode about the nosy bitch. These people are a bunch of nosy bitches.
Yeah.
Because they're like being like, so your boyfriend? It's like, no, I'm not inclined to tell you anything about my life. I'm correcting you that we're not dating, but that's about it. I don't need to tell you that we're talking or anything more. Mm-hmm. And I think that just sucks with her, for her too. Like you said, for all the hard work that she's doing in that. Yeah. And she, now they're potentially being like, well, the only possible way that you could have achieved this is if a man helped you, because you're not smarter than me.
Right. The worst parts of this, it's similar to racism, sexism. It's like where we're getting less examples of overt, like, women should be in the kitchen. Like, people aren't saying that anymore because they know it's quote unquote wrong to say. Mm-hmm. But now it's like these sly things. You're like, oh yeah, pretty women like have a better they get overperform and things like that because they get this privilege of happening. You're like, you're still saying the same things, but you're saying it in quote unquote PC ways where I'm not being sexist. You're like, no, you're being sexist. Would you ask a man who he's dating? Like, who are you dating? Are you dating that TA over there? Like, no, you would never ask a man that. You're specifically asking her that around the teacher in a way to like cause some kind of drama. So I'm like, you're being sexist. You might not be doing it in the most evil way. Like, people are like, you're being sexist, but you're doing the same thing. And that's when you feel crazy. You're like, how do I point this out when it seems okay, but we know it's not okay.
And it's like, it's just crazy that they're going out of their way so much to just terrorize this one student. Like, it's like,
they seem like frail little men.
Well, obviously, they need to spend their time studying.
Study, boy.
So,
get to the books, bud. Yeah.
That's why you ain't doing well on your exams.
She's like, I'm cute and I'm smarter than you.
She should have done more.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think she could have done more. She's in a weird spot.
Well, I guess the other thing, too, is, like, does she benefit from the classmates being there?
No. I mean, probably not.
Well, I would say in a similar situation, like, we've had situations where some people say something about being black, mm-hmm. but it's not, like, racist. So it's like, how do I tell someone this is wrong but not seem like I'm dragging it out? Mm-hmm. Even if you're not dragging it out, you're like, no, they said something wrong, but I don't know how to bring this up to someone who should know, because I don't want them to go crazy. They might go overboard, like, this teacher sent this message out. I don't think she went overboard, but I'm like, you're like gauging whether my response equals what they did. And I think that's the spot she's in. Like,
yeah.
Does my response equal what they did? Or not, if I do come out and they're like, well, she's just a crazy woman who just goes overboard. They're so emotional and they get like this. They will always have an argument for whatever you do. And that's where I'm like, what could she do? I feel like she did what she could. And it still didn't matter because they got all butthurt about all this stuff that they did.
I will say, though, at the end of the day, because we don't know where the story really went afterwards unless there's updates. But they did basically retaliate, even though she didn't do a formal complaint. They still retaliated and they came after, like, why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Right.
Like, at that point, I'd be like, okay, sure, I'll do a formal one now. And I'm coming back and, like, coming after me and trying to intimidate me as well. Like, at that point, you got to escalate it a little more before it just actually gets you somewhere, like, in a bad situation. And if it does get worse, then that's still on them because you did what you could to protect yourself.
In a perfect world, that would be nice. I don't think women are afforded that exact right to do that.
I agree. But at the same time, like, if she doesn't say anything, then who's to say that it doesn't just get worse in the shadows and something end up happening to her? At least, because then the university is going to be wondering, like, why didn't you report this at all?
I don't care what you weren't going to say anything. I'm like, I did say something. You guys didn't do anything about it.
But it wasn't a formal complaint, so it wasn't fully, like, reported.
Well,
that's
the thing to say, that formal complaints mean anything.
True.
People always say, well, you should have said something. And you're like, well, the system's so broken, it doesn't matter if I said anything. I'm actually causing myself more harm and damage for saying something. And that's why so many people don't report anything, because the system's not actually going to protect them.
True.
So that's how I'm like, I get, she's just in such a sucky position and she didn't deserve to be in it. It's just because she's a woman is why it's happening. Mm. This wouldn't be a story if it was a guy. Like, I was a guy, I got two top of my exams. End of the story. I'm hot.
I was in a classroom full of women.
Yeah.
And then they asked me if my girlfriend was hoping to cheat on the test, right?
Yeah.
Sure. I would love to see that story.
That's not happening. That's not a story.
Okay, this draws a parallel to something that was kind of interesting. I didn't realize until I was watching it on TikTok. Is apparently, I think I might have been watching it on some podcast that I watch. But you guys heard about the whole Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure everybody's heard about it now. Travis Kelce, he's a famous, you know, football player for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And how...
He's a tight end. He's got a tight end. I'll take that right now, Travis.
And how... Did something happen other than them, like, being together?
Well, there was a joke that women were doing. So they would go up... The women would go up who knew Taylor Swift, would go up to their boyfriends who love football, and they were like, oh, my God. Did you hear who Taylor Swift is talking to? Some guy named Travis Kelce. And the boyfriends are like, what do you mean some guy named Travis Kelce? Yeah. And they're like, yeah, it's just some like guy on like the Kansas Chiefs or something. Yeah. Like, I think Taylor is really helping skyrocket his career. And the guys would be like, what?
He's literally one of the greatest tight ends to ever play in the NFL.
They're like, he doesn't need Taylor Swift to like hide his career. And there was an interesting perspective that somebody was saying is like, exactly.
Right.
The guys experience for one day somebody who they looked up to. Sorry, my body is literally shivering. Yeah. Somebody who they looked up to, and how they were mad that you would equate somebody else's success to their success.
That's good. Wow. Yeah.
They're like, why would he need to date Taylor Swift to be popular? He's popular in his own right. And the women are like, I know.
Exactly.
You just had a taste of what it's like in a women's world every single day.
But she's like, we're always constantly undermined for our,
where we're always constantly undermined for our achievement. Yes. So I thought that was a really good like little prank. Mm-hmm. And like the way the guys got upset about it, it's like, you don't understand what you just proved by you being so upset about this.
No, I've seen the prank, but I didn't see someone analyze it in that way. That is good.
Yeah.
And that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but no, I mean, I'm glad that I'm not friends with them because they would make me crazy. I'd be so mad, like this next story, crazy
yes.
friends.
Yes.
No, but seriously, I'm shivering while talking. I'm surprised you yeah. can't hear it. Can you hear it on my voice?
I hear chattering like chatter, chatter.
How are your feet?
They're good.
Really?
It was literally only this morning my feet were cold. My feet have not been cold since.
I should have wore my wool socks.
Okay, so this last one is from Crazy Creepy Encounters again. Okay. My crazy friend ended up becoming a murderer.
Oh my gosh, what are these people? Hey, I'm serious. None of y'all better be murderers.
That'd be so sucky.
Wait, I didn't like how any of you guys responded to that. All of you said the most suspicious thing I've ever seen.
It was I funny. I think Ice Spice yeah. was the funniest.
You not saying anything creeped me out. You saying, that be you were like, that'd be so sucky. That I didn't like that. And Maddie did her weird laugh, and I was not in. So all of you are killers, I think.
My crazy friend ended up becoming a murderer. So today has been a particularly slow day at work, and I've been killing time reading these stories.
Killing time?
See what you did there.
Yeah, I see.
You're very good.
You're a murderer, too.
Maybe enough time has passed, and I can share mine. I had this friend who was really into the occult. Unfortunately, I was the one who got him turned onto it. We had a mutual appreciation of the paranormal and all things weird, so I thought the subject would interest him. He started going deep into the subject to the point where he wouldn't talk about anything else. He would actually interrupt a conversation and force the subject back to the occult matters. Rude, but sometimes people go through phases with their interests, and that's all they want to talk about. Yeah. It was mostly a forgivable offense. I think I should mention that this particular friend didn't have a very large friend circle. His depression and introverted nature kept him inside a lot. He didn't have the best luck in relationships with women. His world was kind of small. I did enjoy hanging out with him, so I did my best to be a good friend.
It's just me.
I didn't want to just brush him off because he was acting like a little bit weirder than normal. Honestly, for the longest time, he was a totally normal guy. We'd chat and play games together on PlayStation. Sometimes we'd go see movies with my boyfriend accompanying us. We all hung out at the park. We went swimming. Overall, we had a good time hanging out. Things started to go downhill when he started to smoke DMT. Oh. What is DMT?
I don't know.
It's a drug. Psychedelic.
Yeah. I was about to ask, was this post? Was it written by I Am Mad? Then you said that, and I was like, okay, never mind. Yeah, it's not Sam.
It did scare me because you put the phone down, and I was like, she was going off a memory.
She was completely real, like, Maddie.
Things started to go downhill when he started to smoke DMT. Personally, I think psychedelics are amazing tools that can offer insight into your life, but they should be treated with respect. My friend got to the point where he was making it himself, apparently a pretty easy thing to do after the meager amount of research, and he was smoking it daily, multiple times a day. For those of you who aren't familiar with the substance, when you smoke it, you get transported to a different world, an entirely new plane of existence. Your body and yourself don't exist anymore. You're just exploring this alternate reality dreamscape. My personal experience with it led me to seeing a dragon once in the kaleidoscope of a cornucopia. People see all kinds of different things. Imagine what that does to a person when you're smoking it 30 plus times a day.
30 times a day?
He started telling me things like he was seeing the reincarnated Osiris, and he was seeing Egyptian hieroglyphs all over the place in waking life. Apparently, he had hour-long conversations with entities in his bedroom even when he wasn't smoking DMT. Of course, I was very alarmed to hear all of this, and I told him he needed to take a serious break, no drugs at all for a few months, so he can find solid footing in reality again. At this point, I was still hanging out with him because he obviously needed some help, and like I said before, he didn't have a lot of friends that could give him that. He was also the black sheep of the family, so I knew he wasn't getting any kind of support from them. He was really close to his sister, and I did reach out to her on Facebook to express my concerns. I pushed her to talk him into getting some psychiatric help, because he was slipping past the point of no return. I'm not really sure if she took my messages seriously since we really didn't know each other. Plus, she's at least 6 years younger than us and possibly didn't grasp how serious the situation was. In any case, I'll jump forward now to the part where things start to get really creepy. My boyfriend had made arrangements to hang out with our friends at the park. I didn't really want to go because I felt like I needed a break from him and his nonsensical ranting. I just couldn't deal with it on that particular day. My boyfriend says he wasn't all that bad and we went anyway. We get to the park and he is his usual self, ranting about Egypt and made up gods that only he knew the truth about, etc. He also had this large hunting knife that he kept whittling with the whole time we were on the walk. He told us that he had been using it in ceremonial magic and that it helped to banish negative thoughts. It made me super uneasy.
Mm-hmm. Rightfully so.
Yep.
He would do this thing where he would take the knife and make stabbing motions near his heart or his head, like he was mocking stabbing himself, all while holding a conversation with me or my boyfriend. I think we were really on edge and didn't know what else to say or do about it. I tried to distract him from doing it or bringing up other subjects that might interest him, but he kept on with his ritual. Keep in mind, we were walking on a trail, so it wasn't like we could just say goodbye then and there. No. We had to walk back to our car and drop him off at his car. My boyfriend had the bright idea that we should get some lunch after our walk, even though I was doing my best to give him a look that said, "No, you crazy
read the room."
Even though I was doing my best to say, "No, you crazy fuck, why do you think I want to spend any more time with this nut?" But it must not have been very effective, or my boyfriend was ignoring it. Not sure. Either way, we ended up getting in the car to get some lunch. In the car, I was driving, my boyfriend was in the passenger seat, and our weirdo friend was in the back. As we were heading through a busy part of town where all the shopping and restaurants are, I hear the distinctive sound of a belt buckle coming undone. Then I hear the worst sound imaginable. I peek back out of the corner of my eye, and my suspicions are confirmed. The crazy fucker was full on jacking off in our back seat. I mean, pants all the way down, bare ass on the seat, beating it so hard as like he wanted to rip it off. Instantly, I felt sick to my stomach, and all the nervous energy I had throughout the day popped into my head. I was trying not to shake. I was trying to ignore it and drive through the heavy traffic. I kind of had a freeze response, I guess. This whole time, I kept thinking about this huge-ass pocket knife he had. And obviously, he was completely off his rocker now. And I was afraid to say anything or confront him because I didn't know how he was going to react. This part is nuts. But my boyfriend didn't seem to care or notice. The whole time...
The boyfriend is on something.
Who is he?
The boyfriend's on something.
The story is a trick. The boyfriend's a crazy friend.
The whole time he kept rambling on about how God knows what. I couldn't listen because my thoughts were 100% focused on driving and trying to act like I didn't know what was going on in the back seat. When we get to the restaurant, my boyfriend runs inside to grab food. I'm left alone in the car with our friend.
And he still has his pants down?
Maybe.
The boyfriend just said, "All right, bye." Like, the ex-boyfriend, hopefully.
Oh my gosh.
And I try and act like I'm browsing on my phone when really.
She went in.
Right?
Yeah. When I'm really watching and listening as hard as I can. We don't talk. My boyfriend gets back. I complain that I'm tired and it's been a long day and let's drop him off. So I drive us back to our friend's car and he doesn't get out of the car. He just sits there. I have to get a little rude and ask him to please get out and go home. He gets out and walks over to his passenger side. I start getting really scared and I suspect the worst. He pulled a gun out of some kind of bag that he had on the seat and just walks over to our car with it. I don't know why the fuck I did this, but I was so pissed. I just got out of my car and walked right up to him. I was maybe 3 feet away and could see it was a loaded 9mm. I kept asking him over and over again, "What are you doing?" Because apparently that's all my brain could think to do. I told him to get in his car and go home. He never said anything during this whole time, just kind of cried and had this wild look in his eye. For whatever reason, he got back in his car and drove off. I told my boyfriend obviously we're never hanging out with him again and that I didn't even want to talk to him anymore. No contact. Nada. A few months pass and he occasionally messaged me through PlayStation and texts my phone. He says a lot of random stuff and I ignore it. It turns out he moved to Tennessee near Nashville. I don't know why. He had a roommate and I think their girlfriend lived there. I'm not really sure about the situation. I think he's turning his life around and is getting a fresh start down there. I think it's best to cut all contact and let him regroup. I'm not interested in any kind of friendship with him, and I know he needed help beyond what I could offer. Again, I reached out to his sister and let her know that he had a gun. She managed to get it from him somehow, but it did little good in the end. I get a call around 11 p.m. one night that wakes me up. It's a man claiming that he's a detective down in Gallatin, Tennessee, and my heart skips a beat. I start sweating and immediately ask what happened. Apparently, my former friend stabbed someone to death on Halloween Day. I don't know all the details, and the articles about it are kind of sparse. The whole thing is really surreal, and I'm just feeling like I'm lucky that I didn't get shot last summer. The whole thing turned out way longer than I meant it to be, but that's the whole story. I'm feeling really creeped out by the whole ordeal, and I'm kind of feeling sick after writing all this.
Is there an update?
No, but somebody found an article, and she asked. They asked if it was him, and she said, yeah. It's just the article talking about it.
Because I want to update that you broke up with the boyfriend.
Right.
How did all this happen? The boyfriend's like,
okay. I don't think that there's any update about that now.
Dude,
and that was from 3 years ago.
The boyfriend makes me so mad in this scenario.
There's no way someone's jacking off in the back of the car and you don't notice. And when she was like, we were going on the hike and we felt uneasy. Obviously, the boyfriend's like, so you want to go get lunch? You're like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, Osiris, demons. And he's like, yeah, you want to go get some Dairy Queen? You're like, are you kidding me? We need to get away from this man.
And ignores the look?
Yeah.
When the boyfriend said, before they went on the hike, he was like, he's not that bad. He meant it.
Yeah, he really doesn't
he really
see.
Didn't think so.
He's like, I thought jerking off was normal. And I'm like, this dude's doing crazy.
I will be honest, though, because I thought when she said, I heard the worst sound possible, I thought he was going to be like cutting himself or something.
I thought he was
like
stabbing the boyfriend in the back. Like,
or, well, that's, I was like, I'm glad that, honestly, I feel like I would rather have someone do that in the back of my car than like try to cut their penis off in the back of my car, because then I got to deal with all the blood. And
actually,
I was like,
I don't know. I think I'd rather someone.
Nah, that's a harder mess to clean.
Cut it, because I'm like, just the act of seeing someone it's so gross. I don't want to see what your face looks like. I don't want to see anything related.
But then you got to see them cut it off.
That's better, because I'm like, hey.
No, it's not, Sam.
It's
that's not
Steph's.
Steph's situation is way better. I mean, obviously, any of them would suck.
Yeah, everything sucks. But at the same time, I'm like, you got to clean the blood. You got to clean the penis. You got to get rid of that. You got to call a detective.
You just toss the penis out. It's cut off.
Oh, my God.
Toss that thing out.
Why are you guys focusing on this part specifically? Yeah. There's like so much to focus on.
That is a weird thing to focus on.
I want to know what happened when the boyfriend got in the car. Was he still doing it?
I want to know what happened when he got out of the car. Was he doing it?
Was he still doing it the whole way back to the park?
I don't know why the boyfriend was so oblivious and stupid. I really just don't understand that.
The boyfriend makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
This is just a terrible story. This is a terrible friend.
The way she gets out, you were in the car.
That made me mad, too.
You were in the car was running. You told him to get out. He had enough time to go to his car.
I wouldn't have waited for that.
Oh, no. Wait. He had enough time to walk to the passenger seat.
Yeah.
And grab something out of the back.
I would not have waited for that.
Drive away.
Nah.
I'm like, bye. See you later.
As soon as you got out of my car, I would have been like, all right, bye. I would have let you cross in front of it or whatever. Or if you just had to go that way, I would be like, okay, boy, bye. Like, I'm gone.
You wouldn't even have to shut the door. I'm like, I'm driving with my door open, passenger. I'm like, we're gone. And the boyfriend's like, why'd you do that?
You're being weird.
You're being strange. You're like, what are you? Are you blind or what? He's like, yeah, I can't see. You were like, oh.
Have you been taking his DMT?
Like, or dumb?
He's like, I've been blind this whole time. You didn't know.
So the fact that she gets out, though. And
that was so
she
weird.
She gets out of the running car.
Did the boyfriend get out too?
No, the boyfriend's eating.
You know,
he's like, your friend has a gun.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, the boyfriend didn't have reaction to the gun either.
The boyfriend's not reacting to anything. He's pointing a gun at the boyfriend. He's like,
he's probably like, dude, put the gun down.
He's like,
come on,
I have your fries, bro?
And he's like, why are you yelling at him?
Not for nothing, right?
Yeah,
dude.
Oh, can I see?
Hey, dude, I don't know if you know, your pants are down.
His pants are still down as he goes in the car.
It's like, oh, babe, don't freak out. That's just a 9mm. Yeah. I can see it from here.
I hate the boyfriend so much.
No, the boyfriend's probably like, why are you chasing after him? You don't like me?
Yeah, this story is crazy.
It's so weird.
I can't imagine. Even though, honestly, if I was in the situation, I would have tried to leave during the... I would have made an excuse at the hike. I don't care what my boyfriend said. I'm like, no, we're not. Once we I got to go do that thing. Remember that thing? Even though the boyfriend would be dumb, he wouldn't know how to go. I'm like, no, I got to go do something, and we got
to
go.
We wouldn't have made it to the hike.
Yeah. Oh, my mom sent me a text while we were hiking. I need to go do it. Like,
gotta go.
Something. Family emergency.
Not right. even while gotta we're go. Hiking. My mom sent me a text. I can't even start the trail, guys. I got to go.
My legs are gone. I'm sorry. I can't.
Sorry, I left my other feet at home. I gotta change them out, you know? So
yeah.
I feel like there's just so many red flags, like, even in the beginning. But I just feel like somebody that isn't interested in the occult.
Right.
The fact that, you know, OP's like, I was the one that introduced him to it. You know, I kind of feel bad about that. Because of all the stuff that he ended up doing. And the fact that he was on acid and taking that stuff 30 plus times a day.
30 plus times a day is wild.
In one day.
And like that stuff changes your brain chemistry.
Right.
And you're doing it that much.
I can, like, I just think of even someone just like smoking weed 30 times a day. Like, how do you fit that many?
It's impressive.
Like, you up all night. I guess you could chain smoke cigarettes because it doesn't really.
Yeah, people going through two packs a day.
Right, that's different. But like weed, it literally changes like how you are in that moment, and it's made to get you high. Like 30 a day for that is crazy. Just to think of 30 of anything else. Any other drug you could take 30 times a day is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
30 Reese's.
I watched
a drug.
Comedy Central. They talk about it's a segment called Tales of the Trip, and they'll like get all these like comedians and stuff that like do like psychedelics and stuff, and they're like
Drunk History.
Yeah. Mm. Oh my god, you should see it though. Like the animation style is so crazy. But there was someone that was doing a DMT trip, and he said, I think I met God. And like he's like just going through this whole story and stuff. And I'm like, dude, he did that. And he's like, I think I took the smallest dose that, like, it wasn't even supposed to get me there. And he's like, I was gone for like what felt like hours. And so, like, the fact that this man is doing that 30 times a day.
He's making his own. Like, how do you even make your own?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know about DMT though, because it was like they're so funny. Like,
I want to watch that.
They'll be like freaking out, or like one of them said she thought she got scared because she thought she was turning into the box fan that she was looking at, and it turns out the box fan was like a deity. And so she was like, she's like, I'm having this 30-minute conversation. Meanwhile, like my face feels like I'm turning into a propeller. But like, yeah, it was crazy.
Wow. I wonder why she got out of the car if she saw the gun. Because it's like,
right.
And what was he going to do with it? Was he going to potentially murder them? Or
because right.
She said my friend was a murderer. Well, yeah, he killed somebody.
He killed somebody.
Halloween.
Yeah.
He's probably was too
gonna,
high
like,
to shoot it.
Well, was he going to like attack people at the park? I wonder what he would have done.
I don't know.
If she wouldn't have yelled at him.
I wouldn't have found out. I would have drove off so quick.
I think I would have too. And I don't know. I feel like she admitted herself where she was like, it wasn't a smart thing to do. I just did it.
But I can, maybe you're just so in shock and in fear. She just didn't even know what she was doing. She's like, I gotta get it.
I mean,
my shock and fear would have been.
But to be fair, she probably wasn't thinking straight from like, I mean, I feel like most of the trip kind of like she wasn't really thinking straight. But definitely after they got in the car and he started like doing that, she said she was like really on edge, freezed up driving or trying not to shake and all that. So I feel like from that point forward, she was probably just on such a high amount of nerves and adrenaline that she just had no control of what she was trying to actually do.
Because
even when she got out of the car, all she was saying like, go home. That's all she could literally say. So I feel like she was just out of control on herself at that point too.
Mm-hmm.
And finding out you have the biggest idiot with a boyfriend on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what to think. I'm literally just like.
Man's had negative survival skills. Yeah.
Seriously.
Literally.
So what a great story to end on.
Yeah.
Bro is as stupid as a koala.
Spooky Halloween.
No, panda.
Yeah,
panda.
Happy Halloween, guys.
Halloween.
Let that sit with you guys.
And we hope you guys have a really good Halloween tonight. I'll probably be staying in eating some candy.
Yay, Reese's.
So we will see you guys in November. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Montgomery Jones, for joining us.
Good to have you here.
And Ice Spice, I never thought we'd get you on the show. Why'd you look at me like that, Ice Spice?
Wait, what? Are you?
She a baddie. She knows she a 10.
Oh, is Ice? Wait, I see like chemistry between you two.
I know. I'm like Bob and Ice Spice,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, okay.
And Oompa.
Bob Spice.
I don't know how you got away from here.
I need to get back.
Okay.
I need to get back. My tracker's beeping, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. we'll end now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye. Willie.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.